Welcome to Disruptive CEO Nation, where company founders, entrepreneurs, and cutting-edge thinkers drop in from around the globe to share startup stories, insider insights, and hard-earned success lessons. Now, here's your host, a woman who mastered business by placing heels on the ground all over the world, having worked with and coached CEOs and senior leaders from over 90 countries, and who wants you to build your best business future, Allison K. Summers.
Welcome to this edition of Disruptive CEO Nation podcast, where we are speaking up for the ladies in honor of International Women's Day and the female founders and executive women who are being disruptive in business and in life. And gentlemen, before you think that this episode may not be for you, know that equity is important to business and society because, as we all know, healthy economies need the full participation of citizens. So, enjoy some of these facts and consider what you may be doing to be a good ally to women in business in your life. Now, I don't have a guest this episode, so I thought, why not dedicate it to a female founder whose products I consistently use? So cheers to Mega Baby founder Katie Storino. If you don't know Katie, she founded Mega Baby in 2017 and has products that, get this, combat thigh chafing and boob sweating. So words I never thought I would say on this program, but there you go. Here's the key, as we know about wonderful founders today. They are leaning in and serving markets and serving places that are currently not being served. And so hats off to Katie. Here's what I love about her. One, if you haven't ever followed Katie on social media, you know, go take a look at Instagram, TikTok, and that. Because she is also a founder who represents her culture and her brand. But this was a quote she had in Business Insider. I didn't have representation, so I became the representation. It's been my aha moment because it's allowed me to tap into helping women. When you're in the mindset of being of service to other people, you never really feel like you're working. And that is how I feel most of the time. So, Katie, thank you. And you're welcome to be a guest on this program at any time. So come on over. Anyway, it's International Women's Day, International Women's Month. Why do we even need it still? So we're going to go through some fun facts, some data, some hard points. And again, on this podcast, we like to encourage people in their business journey, encourage them to live out their dreams and be creators. So just listen, sit back, see how this fits into your world. But International Women's Day was originally recognized by the United Nations in 1977. But the first milestone was so much earlier, and it can be tied back to 1848 when Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott stirred the pot as true disruptors, who we love. We love disruptors. So they were indignant over women being barred from speaking at an anti-slavery convention. And the Americans then congregated a few hundred people at the first women's rights convention in New York. And together they demanded civil, social, political, and religious rights for women. And they created this Declaration of Sentiments and Resolutions. And while, again, we talk about how long it takes for change to happen. So this was 1848, and International Women's Day didn't become a thing until 1977. So a lot of struggles between then and now. And yes, women can achieve so much, but as the data is going to show, there's still things stacked against, you know, females, whether you're a female founder in business or otherwise. So the first National Women's Day, though, was observed in the U.S. in 1908. It was in relation to the garment workers' strike in New York, where women protested against the working conditions, right? Like, so like women to finally protest and say, hey, this isn't the world that we want. And again, change has taken a long time. Today, in 2024, the United Nations International Women's Day theme, it resonates here with us as Disruptive CEO Nation because it is invest in women and accelerate progress. According to the UN, investing in women is a human rights issue. And I don't know if we think about this when we are supporting women in business or when we are building business and we're looking around and thinking about who has a seat at the table. But gender equity remains one of the greatest human rights challenges. And investing in women is an imperative so that we're building inclusive societies. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to share data on women in business and women founders and the appalling lack of investment in them. But let's take a sidestep and talk about women in government, because representation matters and who has a seat at the table matters when it comes to progress. And this is addressing barriers for women, since as child care, elder care, maternity leave, access to credit, like how women or minorities or underprivileged individuals are able to build credit to be looked at viable business builders in the future. So, first quiz question. What was the first country in the modern era to grant women the right to vote? Bonus, if you can guess what year. So, what country was the first one to give women the right to vote? It was New Zealand. It was the first self-governing nation to give women the right to vote in 1886. Well, here in the U.S., we were well behind. It took us to 1920 with the passage of the 19th Amendment, which I'm sure many of you know. But did you know that countries like Poland, Latvia, Hungary, and even Russia gave women the right to vote before the U.S.? And in fact, the laws passed in 1920 weren't even good enough. So we had to pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to get inclusion moved along in a much bigger, bolder way. So here's my plug. If you care about what happens to business and opportunity in this country or whatever country you live in, if you're listening someplace else, you must exercise your voice and your right to vote. So in fact, you never know if you're going to be asked this next question in bar trivia. So what is the gender ratio in the United States? Okay, what is the ratio, just birth by birth, of men to women in the United States? So the data that we have says that for every 100 females, there's 97 males. So ladies, we legitimately outnumber the men, but we're still not seeing this representation in politics and in business. How is this still happening? So extra side fact, what's the state that has the highest percentage of men? And what's the state that has the highest percentage of women? Completely irrelevant to our topic, but just for fun, for conversation's sake. If you said Alaska, you would be correct. You get a point. Alaska's population is 52% male, making it the state with most men. And Delaware's population is over 51% female, making it the state with most women. So, okay. If their numbers are equal, what are we doing that's right, or what are we doing that's wrong? So in the existence of the United States House of Representatives, there have been over 11,000 people who served in the House. 11,000. The first one was the Republican Jeanette Rankin from Montana. She was the first woman elected to Congress. In total today, there are just under 380 women that have been U.S. representatives. 380. Like, depending on when you listen to this, data changes all the time. So don't send me an email saying, Allison, your data's off. We know data changes. But for conversation point, 11,000 to 380. And to boot, Mississippi and North Dakota have not yet sent a woman to the House. Okay. How are laws and how are things changing to help make sure that we can have women be full participants and business leaders in this society if we can't get representation right? So let's talk about women in legislative bodies in the world. Can you guess the top three countries when it comes to equity and parliaments or congresses? Top three countries in the world. And you're going to be appalled where US falls on this list. But representation in parliaments or houses of Congress, the number one country is Rwanda. It is 61% female. So you ready? Here's the top three: Rwanda, Cuba, Nicaragua. Guess where US is on this list? We are number 71 in equal representation in the major parliamentary unit of the government. Do you know who else is number 71? Iraq. That is where the US sits and how we get women into political representation. So at the current rate of progress, the World Economic Forum estimates that it is going to take 145 years for the US to attain gender parity in politics. What? So the US is so far down in relation to women's participation. It's no wonder that we're not seeing faster growing strides in the business world. But it gets worse. It gets worse. The World Economic Forum produces an annual gender gap report. The Global Gender Gap Index annually benchmarks current state on four dimensions: economic participation, opportunity, educational attainment, health and survival, and political empowerment. So guess which countries rank in the top five best for women when it comes to gender parity in the world, where women are doing well. So top five: Iceland, Norway, Finland, New Zealand, and Sweden. Where is the US on this list, you ask? We are number 43, right behind Colombia. That means there are 42 countries in this world that women have better standing and are better set up for success than they are here in the US. So ladies, if you are business builders, whether you are an entrepreneur or whether you are an entrepreneur and a founder, there are going to be days where you feel like odds are stacked against you. And you know what? We can still overcome that. We can still apply what we need to do, but you need a strong and hearty network of like-minded women who've already been there, done that, and are going to help keep you level set and bring you along. So at this current rate of where everything stands in the world related to women, it's going to take 169 years to overcome the economic participation and opportunity gender gap. And we're doing much better in education. The gender gap is closing much faster. It should be 50-50, hopefully, around the world in 16 years. But we all know that when a thing like COVID strikes or a natural disaster, that women are hard hit because they retreat, right? They retreat and they go back and take care of their homes and take care of families. So these things are shifting data. So it's about us motivating women to see themselves as being able to start a business and lead companies. Now, I like to try to be sure I have a 50-50 representation on this podcast, and I get to speak with ambitious and motivated female founders, but we need the pipeline to be filled with capable and supported women. So have you ever heard the phrase drop to the top? It means that we are losing women. Women are dropping out on the way to the top. So drop to the top. It's either by choice or being blocked from reaching the C-suite for different reasons, or being blocked from funding to start their business. So this is some data from LinkedIn on drop to the top. Of the 163 countries that LinkedIn studied, women account for about 42% of the workforce in 2023. So women, 42% of the workforce. Yet the share of women in senior leadership positions, meaning director, vice president, C-suite, was 32%. So it's a 10% difference between the number of women in the workforce and the number of women somewhere in that upper management C-suite range. It drops to 25% when we talk about true C-suite positions. And industries, you know, it depends, right? If you're in a STEM industry, the drop to the top might be faster and harder than there are in, say, medical professions. So you've heard the joke that there are more CEOs named John than women in the Fortune 500, but we are making progress. Today, about 10% of Fortune 500 CEOs in the US are women, and 7% of the S&P 500 companies are run by a woman. It is critical that women see this path forward because, you know, women who are on boards of directors, the data shows that the companies deliver better financial results, and savvy investors are beginning to add gender lenses to investing, right? So there, and our sophistication when it comes to investments has advanced exponentially in the last couple of years, right? The ability to say, I want my investments to only go to funds that don't have guns or that don't have drugs or that have at least one woman sitting at the board table. Investors are savvy. They can easily see these things, whereas maybe even a decade ago, it was a much more difficult task to figure out. Transparency is there. Businesses need to ensure that they have pathways and inclusion at the top. And it's not just for numbers. It's because there is data that shows when you have women involved at the top, you have improved performance and raising stock prices. So this is a study from Harvard Business Review. And I'm going to kind of read this direct, right? So going from having no woman in a corporate leadership to a 30% female share is associated with a 1 percentage point increase in net margin, which translates to a 15% increase in profitability in a typical firm. And other studies suggest that a female CEO could see a 20% increase in stock price momentum. And that comes from S&P Global that says 2 years after that female was appointed as CEO, the improvements are being seen. There's data out there. You can go look for it. You can go find it. So if anybody's listening and you are a business builder, I always say when you walk into a networking event, do not sit at a table of people that look like you. Walk to a table of people that don't look like you. And as we build business and as we build what that top looks like, make sure that you have diversity of age, diversity of gender, diversity of cultural Black background, diversity of global viewpoints. Like, those things matter and they do create conflict, but they also generate healthier outcomes for business. So let's get to some good news. 42% of all US businesses are owned by women, and women-owned businesses have grown 114% in the last two decades. So get the champagne poppers. We are putting ourselves out there. We are doing so, so much better. And one of my guests that I've had on Disruptive CEO Nation podcast was Danielle Green. She's the founder of Slaypedia. And I loved this from her interview where she said, I decided to start my own company because I kind of felt like if I could do it for this organization that I'm working for, I can pretty much do this for myself. And I think that is the trend that we're seeing. But what we don't want to have happen is these women-owned businesses get started and then fold for whatever those things are that are affecting them. We need to give them the support to have the success that they deserve. We also need to implement gender-responsive financing. We've heard this data before. I've had guests come through this program talk about it. But here's a data from Fast Company in the world of VC funding. Women-owned businesses receive just 1.9% of the funding, right? So we're excited, but that's really hard work. Now, I have talked to women who are like, I'd rather just do it on my own. I go to my network for my funding. I don't want to be beholden to these venture capitalists. So I think women are more interested in finding their own path, but still, we need accelerators, we need funders, we need this difference to help build healthy economies, right? We know there's inequity in business loans to women and also to minority women because they aren't able to build the credit on paper that banks are looking for. So again, thank goodness for things like crowdfunding, and thank goodness that we have different pathways now to inject some cash into these businesses, because you can only build a business so far, and the make or break it point means that you need some of this extra cash flowing in. I want to share also this sentiment from Brianna Sochia, who was the founder of UberDoc. And she was talking about this barrier to getting outside money. And she said that the challenge has been bittersweet because although it's constricted her ability to achieve sustainable revenue and scale quickly, right? That injection of cash is about scaling. We were able to provide that we could do amazing things on small budgets. And we learned to consider every single dollar that we've ever spent and invested in strategies and initiatives that really push the needle for growth for us. So, whew, that was a lot. That was a lot. I hope you stayed with me. And I want to come back to why do we need an International Women's Day? Well, we need it because in the world of work, there's still appalling facts. There's still barriers. There's still things. Women are less likely to enter the labor market to start with. Women are more likely to be unemployed than men. Women are overrepresented in informal and vulnerable employment, such as care, family care. Women are paid less than men. We know the data. Women are less likely than men to have access to financial institutions and the right kind of banking and the right kind of credit. Women are disproportionately responsible for unpaid care. In the United States, women spend 1.6 times as much time on unpaid domestic care work than men, right? In 2019, women in the United States spent over 15% of their day on what we called unpaid care and domestic work, where men spent less than 10% on such tasks. You know, women also have the challenge, and the data shows that women who have experienced intimate partner violence is over 25%. So one in every four women that walks in the door of business has experienced some type of violence in their life, and yet they still show up and they still come to work. They still have dreams of building businesses and breaking through barriers. And I so love all of you if you fall in that category. I want to close with a quote from Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. She says, "Don't be intimidated by what you don't know. That can be your greatest strength and ensure that you do things differently from everyone else." So, hey, that is it for today. We'll go back to our regular programming next week with great interviews from great rock star founders. If you know a wonderful female founder doing something disruptive and bringing new products to the market, developing technology, changing up the supply chain and industry norms, write to me at connect@allisonksummers.com, and maybe we will invite her to be a guest. Hey, until we speak again, keep your eye on the future and always, always be disruptive. Thank you.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.